Welcome to another City Gate Atlanta teaching. As an apostolic training and equipping center, it's our desire to empower you to fulfill your God-given destiny with tools like this teaching. For more information about City Gate Atlanta and our resources, go to citygateatlanta.org.
But I'm coming back to our messages on the shareholders, and today we're going to talk about our core values and principles. How many of you realize that we all operate by things that are core to what we believe? We may not have taken the time to identify them, but the reality is you move in your life based on your core values and principles. I challenge you, look at your life and say, God, what are the core guiding principles of my life? And then ask the question, do they line up with the Word of God? Because we all need to determine what is it that's guiding us. Because fear can guide you. Did you know that? Lack of trust can guide you. Failure, fear of failure can guide you. Intimidation can guide you. But those aren't the things we want to be guided by. We want to be guided by those things that are core to the kingdom of God. Those things that are important to Him must become the things that are important to us. So core values and principles, guiding truths and practices that help set our course together. Because if we don't know these things, we won't be able to move forward together. We'll be going in a lot of different directions rather than moving forward together. Core, I'm just going to give you some simple definitions. Core are those things that are the center of everything, the core of an apple, right? It's where the seed life is. The principles are a general belief that you have about the way you should behave, which influences your behavior. How you behave is based on your core principles. Then values are the beliefs that motivate people to act one way or another. Beliefs serve as a guide for all human behavior. Now, if we take that and we begin to look at society, we have to begin to worry about our belief system and the culture. But that's why God's called us to be sure that our values and principles are secure in Him, and that together we're treating each other according to these. Because we can take all of the words that I'm going to bring to us today, and we can easily apply them to our relationship with the Lord. But really what I'm looking at today is our relationship to one another. Because it's really easy to say we have these things toward God. But if we're going to operate as a healthy congregation, as a healthy expression of Christ's body on the earth, we need to grow in our maturity of how we live in these things together, how we treat one another. So we're going to look at honor, transparency. Some of you are going to say ouch on that one. Integrity, humility, authenticity, and trust. So let's take a look at honor. I put this one first because for me, a culture of honor is paramount. Where there is dishonor, you see all kinds of dysfunction. So honor is a showing of respect. It's attributing acknowledgement and respect of the honor, the kabod, the glory that one carries. Now I want to stop right there. Say, I carry glory. You may need to say that over yourself every day. Because false humility will tell you, well, I don't carry glory. Glory is God's. Well, no, Christ in you, the hope of glory. So there is an honor for the glory that we carry. We honor each other because we are all carriers of His glory. There's an honor for one another. An honor for those in authority, an honor for others above oneself. Honoring and preferring one another above ourselves. Romans 12:10 says, be devoted to tenderly loving your fellow believers as members of one family. Try to outdo yourselves in respect and honor of one another. What would culture look like today if we tried to outdo ourselves in showing respect and honor to one another? Because honor will undo people's defense mechanisms. If you have somebody that comes up against you kind of abrasively, if you will honor them, it softens it. Not always immediately, but if you keep doing it, because they can't keep coming up against the honor that you're showing. Matthew 19:19, Jesus said, honor your father and mother and love those around you as you love yourself. Now this is in the natural. We honor our father and our mother, but we also honor those that are leading or mentoring and being as fathers and mothers of the Spirit to us. We honor those. We esteem them. And here's one of the things the Lord said to me years ago. He said, one of the ways that you show honor to your mothers and to your mother and your father is living the life that God created you to live to the best that you can. Because what happens if you're living uprightly and you're living in the honor of God and you're living displaying His character, His nature, you're living in a way that is filled with blessing and even success, right? What does that do? It reflects back to your parents. And here's the deal about that. It reflects back to your parents whether they were honorable or not. Some people need to hear that. Live to the best of who God created you to be, and your very life will reflect honor to your parents. Because people look at you, and they can't help it. We can't help but think, wow, look what God did. And see, when we've had, and I know there's people in the room that have had very dishonorable parents. Very. But see, that doesn't negate the Word of God. So live in a way that your life reflects honor. This is something else the Lord said to me probably 25 years ago when I was reading a book called Honor. And in the middle of that book, the Lord said, honor is the vehicle upon which love travels. When you honor someone, they can receive your love. If you dishonor them and tell them you love them, it's a disconnect. God is wanting us to create a culture of honor here that is so permeating everything that we do that you walk in because God honors honor. Where honor is, it displays His splendor. It displays His majesty. There is a freedom to move when there is honor. There's a freedom to be who you are where there's honor. Where there's honor, there's an ability to step out and try something new because you know you'll be honored, you'll be protected, you'll be supported, and you'll be encouraged in the midst of it. Where there's dishonor, it produces a fear of failure. It produces a fear of movement. It's like, I can't move because if I do it wrong, I'm going to be discarded. See, a culture of honor gives plenty of space for when we mess up. Anybody else mess up around here? See, when we mess up, it's good to have a culture of honor so that you have room to be restored and be healed. And honor provides that because honor is the vehicle upon which love travels, and love is always in pursuit of restoration. That leads us to our next, I'm going to do two words kind of together, authenticity and transparency. And I put a diamond up there because when we're authentic and when we're transparent, the brilliance of the reflection of the light of God is able to bounce off of the purity of our lives. When you go to buy a diamond, you look for the clarity. How transparent is it? And so God's wanting to look at us and wanting us to be willing to be transparent and authentic, because these are keys for displaying His glory. What is authenticity? Authenticity, quite simply, is the quality or condition of being authentic. Anybody go, duh? Yeah? I mean, it's just like, there it is. But it's also of being trustworthy, of being genuine. See, in church culture, in religion, let me rephrase it. In religion, we all learned how to put on masks, because we had to look the way everybody wanted us to look, and yet what we presented was not authentic and genuine to what we were like on the inside. Anybody else ever done that or experienced it? You think somebody is kind and loving, and then all of a sudden something don't go right and their mask is off and you see the real deal. Then you're seeing the genuine, because the mask is just a facade. See, authenticity is the quality of being authentic or entitled to acceptance as authoritative, genuine, true, or correct. See, we're wanting authentic leadership. We're wanting authentic Christians. We're wanting people who are Christ followers that are authentic in all of their ways, because when there's an authenticity, there's no crack. Then when they speak, all of heaven backs it up. If there's a lack of authenticity, when you hear somebody say something, you go, I hear your words, but the Spirit of God on the inside of you and your own spirit will kind of go tilt. Anybody ever experienced that? Because the words are right, but there's something not ringing true, something not ringing authentic. See, the scriptures are altogether authentic. You can read it, and it's always true, always steadfast. It's always immovable. It is unquestionable because it has the ring and the truth of authenticity. It's not false or an imitation. As a character trait for us, that we would be true to who we really are. You don't have to put on a facade. If you're having a bad day, you know what? Bad days don't mess God up. Aren't we glad? Hallelujah. So therefore, if we're in a company of people relating to each other, let's just be real. I mean, there's sometimes I'm in the office, I'll look at Sandra and I'll say, just kind of leave me alone because I'm having a bad day. And I'll get over it. But right at the moment, I'm out of sorts. Anybody else have out of sorts days? Well, I find it much healthier just to be honest about it than to try to press through acting like I'm just fine. Because eventually, you know what happens in the press of a day? Whatever's on the inside, it comes out. So just be honest about it. Be true to who you really are. And that comes to who God created you to be. If you're outgoing, be outgoing. If you're shy, be shy. It's okay. I don't take it on as an identity that somebody put on you, but be true to who you are. We're not all gregarious. I mean, we're just not. But be true to who you are, because if you're trying to be somebody else, it will not ring true. And you won't have the freedom to be who God created you to be. So be authentic. And don't worry about appearances and facades. Get rid of them. Authenticity is the key to genuine relationships with the Lord and with others. You're not going to have a genuine relationship with someone if you're not really being authentic. You've got to be real. It's also the key to true authority. How many of us want to walk in kingdom authority? I think we all do. Because the Word of God says that He's given us the keys of the kingdom. That's a word of authority, right? Well, if we're not authentic inside and outside of who we are and who Christ is in us, we will not have the measure of authority that God has for us. We also have to be true and authentic about what we don't know. I'm letting that one kind of settle on you for a minute. Because sometimes we want to present that we know what we don't know and act like we've got authority in an area we don't have a clue what we're doing. And there's no authority in that whatsoever. You'll hear people begin to pray or do different things or start talking about something, and you'll go, I hear the words, but it doesn't have an authority on it. Do you know what that is? It's usually they've heard and they've received by faith, but they have not yet come to faith, so it's not really theirs. It's an echo, not a reality. So this isn't for us to stay complacent with where we are in our journey. It's to press on. Receive what you receive, then press on until it becomes a part of who you are. So that it is authentic in you, in your rising up, in your lying down, in your speaking, in your quiet by yourself, and when you're out in public, it doesn't matter, you're still true. True. And authenticity will influence, it's the influence that bears lasting fruit. When you're authentic, the work of authenticity will bear fruit because people will grow in their relationship with you when you're real, and you will grow in relationship with others. 1 John 5:20 and 21 in the Passion says, and we know that the Son of God has made our understanding come alive so that we can know by experience the one who is true. And we are in him who is true, God's Son, Jesus Christ, the true God and eternal life. So little children, guard yourselves from worshiping anything but him. The key to authenticity is pure, unadulterated worship. Gazing into the glory of God that changes us from the inside out. Letting the glory of God do its work in you so that what comes out of you is authentic and real. We don't want to be a counterfeit diamond. I don't want to be counterfeit. I want to be the real deal. And then that leads us to transparency. Transparency is the property of transmitting light without appreciable scattering so that bodies lying beyond are seen clearly. It's fine or sheer enough to be seen through. It's free from pretense or deceit. It's easily detected or seen through, readily understood, characterized by visibility or accessibility of information. Transparency makes people nervous. Have you not noticed that if somebody's really transparent about their life and they're open, they're an open book, because I'm a pretty open book, and I can watch people around me start squirming. Because what it does is it makes people uncomfortable with, wait a minute, I'm not sure I want to be that transparent. See, transparency gives the ability for intimacy. Without transparency, you'll have no intimacy. And most of us, through the course of our life, have been in times and seasons where we're not even totally transparent with God. We put up this veil because we don't want him to see that closet in our soul. We don't want him to see this part of our life, like he doesn't see it anyway. But he's waiting for us to be vulnerable and transparent and say, I heard the definition of intimacy years ago, into me see. Where we're like, into me see. We have to do that with the Lord, but there's a place of intimacy and a place of transparency with our fellow believers that actually opens the door for healing, for strength, for encouragement. If we just keep up this facade all the time of I'm strong, I've got it together, that cuts you off from having the ability for other people to come alongside and add strength to you, right? So sometimes it's like we're cutting off our nose to spite our face because we want to save our face, but we cut it off. Because we're afraid to be vulnerable. We're afraid to let somebody go, I'm really struggling in this area. Now, you don't necessarily go blabbit to everybody. But you need to have a measure where you're willing to be transparent. You're willing to share your dreams. You're willing to share your hopes. You're willing to share your struggles, your fears, your doubts, your unbeliefs. Because when you are transparent and open up, it gives an entrance for the light of God to come in. But it also, when you're transparent, there's the ability for the light of God that's in you to come out. I'm letting that one settle a minute because I'm not sure you really got what I said right there. Our lack of transparency locks up the glory of God on the inside. This is something the Lord began speaking to me a few weeks ago. He said, when you're wearing a hiddenness and you've got layers and layers that are not transparent, the glory that's in you is hidden. He said, the more transparent, the more thinned out your soul becomes, so that it is submitted to the Spirit of God, the more the glory of God will shine through you. We should be so transparent, and I'm not saying just bearing everything out, just transparent with the allowing the glory of God to shine through us, having so been in His presence that when we walk out, our soul is thinned out in such a way that we walk into a store and glory goes before us. What if we walked in and we're so shining with the glory of God, they look at you and go, what have you been doing? It's like you're glowing. You've got joy emanating out of you. You've got, what is this? Provoke people to jealousy for the peace and the joy and the glory that you're walking in. It's coming by allowing transparency. Transparency enables Christ in us, the hope of glory, to be revealed. Lack of transparency clouds the expression of Christ and His glory through us. When we're not transparent, we're always measuring, is it safe to share right now? Right? That there's a wall that we have to overcome. But when that wall becomes more and more transparent, the boldness, the courage, and the grace to just minister Christ wherever we are becomes easier and easier. I've referenced this verse several times in transparency, but I want to read it out of Colossians 1:27 in the Passion Translation. Living within you is the Christ who floods you with the expectation of glory. This mystery of Christ embedded within us becomes a heavenly treasure chest of hope filled with the riches of glory for His people, and God wants everyone to know it. Can you begin seeing yourself walking around carrying the treasure chest of glory that God wants everyone to see, to allow the glory that's on the inside of you to be displayed? 2 Corinthians 5:11 says, since we are those who stand in holy awe of the Lord, we make it our passion to persuade others to turn to Him. We know that our lives are, what? Transparent before the God who knows us fully. And I hope that we are also well known to your consciences. In other words, my hope is that the transparency that we walk in will allow us, conscience to conscience, to recognize the authenticity, the genuineness of who we are. Because that fills us with great hope. and empowers us with courage. Then we move to integrity. Integrity is the internal strength that provides stability and ability to withstand life's challenges. I put up the picture of a bridge, because when a bridge's integrity is compromised, it's no longer safe to travel over. Integrity is the quality or state of being complete or undivided, to have an undivided heart. It's regarded as honesty, truthfulness, and the accuracy of one's actions. It's being true in word, in attitude, and in action. No double-mindedness. The Word of God says that a double-minded man is what? Unstable in all of his ways. That's a demonstration of a lack of integrity. God wants us to be single-minded. He wants us to have a stability that comes from integrity in every area. Integrity is the practice of being honest and showing a consistent and uncompromising adherence to strong moral and ethical principles and values, of showing strong adherence to the Word of God, strong adherence to following after the Spirit of God, that we are the same when we're in private as we are in public. We often heard it said that integrity is doing the right thing even when no one is watching. And I love this next picture that we'll show. See, the thing that we as having been raised religious people, we tend to have a bent toward wanting to be perfect, of perfectionism. Anybody else ever battled with perfectionism? See, integrity isn't about walking in perfection or in a cover-up to cover your flaws, but it's the displaying the beauty of redemption and the beauty of restoration. That pottery is known as kintsugi. It's a Japanese art form of repairing broken pottery with lacquer dusted or mixed with powdered gold, silver, or platinum. As a philosophy, it treats breakage and repair as a part of the history of an object rather than something to be disguised. Isn't that good? What a prophetic picture. See, religion tells us we have to cover up our flaws. We have to cover up our past mistakes. We have to cover up where we messed it up. But see, what God does is says, I know you were broken. I know this happened. I know you had all of this mess going on in your life. But look what I do with the restoration and the redemption. I put you back together, and I don't just put it together with wax so when you hold it up to heat, it melts and the cracks show. No, I fill it in with a lacquer and I display it with the splendor of gold, silver, and platinum. So that those places that were broken then become a place of displaying my glory. That's why testimonies are so important. See, I don't like celebrating our brokenness. I love celebrating the redemption out of our brokenness. Not covering it up, not being filled with shame. Because when you're still trying to cover it up with wax, puttying up those places rather than lacquer with a fine gold, you're still operating in shame. Because shame says, you can't possibly, I can't let you know who I am. Because if you knew how bad I was, or how bad I've been, or how bad flawed I am, right? I can't risk letting anybody see that. But God says, that's not your identity. I didn't fill it in with wax that'll melt away to expose your past. I filled it in with lacquer. I filled it in with my glory, so that when people look at you and you tell your story, what they see is the shining brilliance of redemption. What a better way of looking at it. See, I think those are the places where God gets the most glory. Because we've all totally blown it in times past. And we may in the future. But as long as there's the mercy seat that we can go to. God will take those broken places and fill them in and turn them in to a beautiful piece of art so that you as a clay vessel, chipped, nicked, cracked, put back together, fit for the Master's use to display His splendor. See, integrity. Psalm 112, verse 3 says, great blessing and wealth fills the house of the wise, for their integrity endures forever. Proverbs 11, 3 says, integrity will lead you to success, but treachery will destroy your dreams. And Proverbs 10, 9, the one who walks in integrity will experience, I love this, a fearless confidence in life. But the one who is devious will eventually be exposed. Walk a life of integrity. Where there are cracks and where there's been cracks in your integrity, get before the Lord and invite Him in to the redemption and the restoration so that glory is revealed through those places. And then we embrace humility. It's freedom from pride or arrogance, the quality or state of being humble. Ephesians 4:2 says, with tender humility and quiet patience, always demonstrate gentleness and generous love toward one another, especially with this, toward those who try your patience. Isn't that great? Anybody in here have people that try your patience? It's a place for us exercising gentleness and generous love through humility. Philippians 2:3 says, be free from pride-filled opinions, for they will only harm your cherished unity. Don't allow self-promotion to hide in your hearts, but in authentic humility, put others first and view others as more important than yourselves. This is key for us walking. See, humility isn't acting and treating yourself like you're a worm and you're nothing. Because God doesn't say that about you. Religion has us wallowing around, and it really is a false humility. It's not a real humility. True humility is believing who God says you are, no more, no less. Humility is remembering that apart from God's grace. I'm not sure what happened to the sound, but it just went somewhere. It's kind of odd. Remember that without God's grace, we are nothing. And except for His grace, we could be in a worse situation, even worse than we could imagine. It's all by God's grace. Humility is remembering that all we have, all that we are, and all that we ever hope to be comes from Christ. And that whether in greatness or lowliness, our heart must always remain in humility. I've shared this before, but one of the greatest things one of my grandfathers said to me is, always remember, we all put our pants leg on one leg at a time. And none of us are any better than anybody else. And who we are is only by the grace of God. By Him we stand, by Him we move, by Him we live. It's in Christ. And then finally, trust. Proverbs 3:5 says, trust in the Lord completely and do not rely on your own opinions. With all your heart, rely on Him to guide you, and He will lead you in every decision you make. Trust is reliance on the character, ability, strength, and truth of someone or something. It's the one in which confidence is placed. We're to trust God. The Lord alone is our radiant hope, and we trust in Him with all our hearts. His wraparound presence will strengthen us as we trust. We rejoice with an uncontained flowing joy flowing from Yahweh. Trust in the Lord. It's key to everything that we do. Where we usually get a challenge is in trusting others. 1 Corinthians 13:7 says, love is a safe place of shelter, for it never stops believing the best for others. Love never takes failure as defeat, for it never gives up. See, when we live in true love, we'll trust. Now, most of us have been taught that trust is earned. Who's been taught trust is earned? Can I tell you that's a false belief? It's an ungodly belief. It came out of Socrates and Plato. It's humanism at its best. Trust is a choice. Deciding to trust is key in building authentic relationships that endure the test of time, difficulties, and blessings. All relationships will go through test. Right? Anybody have any relationships that haven't been tested? I want to meet you afterwards if you have, because I want to find out what you do, because all relationships get tested. Trust is a choice, and it reflects the level of you trusting the Lord. When I finally got this, it liberated me to be able to trust more fully. Because if I trust the Lord, I can choose to trust somebody, because I'm trusting God, who is the God over all, that if they do something, I can trust Him. Because He's my vindicator. He's my shield. He's my fortress. He is the defender. I don't have to. But I have to choose to trust, to put myself in an alignment with trusting God. It takes a while to learn to do that, because we've so been trained that trust is earned. Trust is a choice, but respect can be lost. There are people that I have chosen to trust, but then they've lost measures of my respect because of their continual actions. But with respect that is lost by actions and behaviors, we have to hold that always in a place that redemption is possible. I've had horrible betrayals. If you've been in ministry more than about 2 weeks, you've experienced some betrayals. It's just reality. And so I choose to trust people. Actions may cause my respect level to go down, but by the grace of God, I have to always stay in a posture of that respect can be regained. But I'm still going to choose to trust. Because if I pull back trust, I'm saying, God, I can't trust you with this situation. Recently, I've stepped into some scenarios that I'll tell you, I had to wrestle through the having lost respect to risk activating the trust. Does that make sense? Because when the respect has been lost and damaged time and time and time again, at some point God says, okay, you say you choose to trust, I'm going to test you on it. I mean, He'll do it. And so a situation came up and I had to choose to trust that God was in it, even though it was risky. But God showed up. And you just have to, at some point, you have to go, respect was lost, but I'm willing to risk allowing respect to be regained. When trust is tested, there's some things we have to know to do. You've got to choose to trust the heart of the person over their actions. Because the reality is, we can all do things that hurt each other. And we may not mean to. We probably don't mean to. Very rarely. Will we intentionally do something we, you know, is going to hurt somebody, right? Because that just doesn't fit with the character and the nature of Christ that we're pressing in to walk in. But the thing is, we make decisions at times that hurt people. And when we get hurt, and by the way, I'll do things that'll hurt you. I may not speak to you one day walking down the hall, and you'll go, well, does she not even like me anymore? I probably didn't see you. Or she didn't pray for me, or she didn't acknowledge my birthday, or she didn't. I'm going to do that stuff. Just reality. Can I ask you, choose to trust my heart over my action? Because it's not an intention, and I will do the same with you. Because guess what? You're going to do some stuff, and I'm going to look at you and go, she did what? Or he did what? But I choose to trust the heart, because I know your heart is toward the Lord. And acknowledge that respect can be lost, like I said a minute ago, but always with the hope of redemption. Don't give up on the hope of redemption. Remember that our trust in others is a reflection of our trust in the Lord. And always know, trust is a key to conflict resolution. I don't care if it's conflict resolution in your family, on the workplace, in your neighborhood, here at City Gate, or in any other ministry. Trust is a key to conflict resolution. And trust is a key to building authentic relationships that function in integrity, honor, transparency, and humility to fulfill our God-given assignments. God wants us to walk. I believe these are character-defining moments for all of us. It will produce a strength so that we really can fulfill what God's called us to. As shareholders of the vision here at CityGate and beyond, to touch the nations, to touch our nation with the gospel of the kingdom. Will you stand with me? Father, thank you. Father, I thank you that Christ walked all of these values out and he modeled it for us. He modeled honor. He modeled transparency and integrity. He modeled humility above all. He modeled authenticity and he modeled trust. Even trusting you all the way to the cross. So, Father, today over us here, I ask that we would have grace by the power of the Holy Spirit to walk as Jesus walked, to walk with one another in ways that display your glory, in ways that are authentic and transparent, in ways, Father, that are always marked by honor and humility and authenticity. And then in all of our ways, in all everything that we do, we would have a walk that demonstrates our trust in you, to move to activating faith by stepping out in trust. So, Father, I bless your people. I thank you, Lord, for the gift of who you are to us and who you are making us as gifts one to another. We bless you, and I bless your people with a week filled with your glory to walk with you and to know you more and more, to move from glory to glory to glory as we behold you in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. 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 And one happy birthday to Pat. I think it was Friday, happy birthday. Woohoo! It's awesome. Well, y'all love on each other, and we'll see you Tuesday night.
Thank you for listening to the City Gate Atlanta teaching. We hope you were encouraged, exhorted, and equipped. For more information about City Gate Atlanta, our resources, or upcoming conferences and events, go to citygateatlanta.org.